So I will talk about the sign of maturity in Christ Jesus. It is very amazing that when Paul talk about the maturity, first of all, he talk about the life of maturity. And then he talk about the service. He put emphasis, first of all, in life. And then he put emphasis in ministry. Life is before the ministry. So chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, talk about what a godly life is like. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient. Chapter 4, verse 2, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help your servant to explain your word clearly to your children so that we know what we should put our focus upon, and you focus upon our life first and then our ministry. Our ministry should reflect what our life is all about, and I pray that you help us to live a life worthy of the calling that we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you open our eyes that we can see clearly, and open our ear that we can hear, and open our heart that we can remember what you have said to us. And I pray that you help us to do it well, and based upon what you told us today, and help us to have an obedient heart to receive what you have said to us, and hide it within our heart lest it be seen against you, and help us to be able to do it, and so that we can please you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So God put emphasis on our life first. And I want you to write it down before chapter 4, 1 to 3, and chapter 4, 12 to 13. You say, what is more important? Life is more important than ministry. I will use two Bible verses to explain that. 1 Timothy, the book of Ephesians, who is the pastor of the Ephesus? Timothy is the pastor. And when Paul write to Timothy in chapter 4, verse 16, and Paul put the emphasis on his life more than his doctrine, his teaching. So chapter 4, verse 16, I want you to write it down. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them. Because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So we should put emphasis on our life first. So when you write beside watch your life, you write down Ephesians 4, 1, 2, 3. And then as far as Timothy is concerned, his ministry is teaching, his doctrine. And so right beside doctrine, you write down chapter 4, verse 12 to 13. Our life is more important than our ministry, our service. And this is what Paul's teaching us. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Let's hear what Jesus say about that. Matthew chapter 7. Verse 21 to 23. Not everyone who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and perform many miracles? Verse 23, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. In other words, the fellow that who prophesies in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name drive out demons, in Jesus' name perform many miracles, and yet he's an evildoer. That means his life is not godly. So in Jesus' teaching, he put emphasis on life before ministry. If you don't have a godly life, we have no ministry. So you can also write it down. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Once we got a godly life, and then talk about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, not by work. This not from yourself. It is the gift of God. Salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. And then chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. In other words, before we serve God, we have to have his life. Make sure we have a godly life. Without godly life, our ministry is in vain. Doesn't count. So, ministry or service is only for God's children. So what happened if I heard some people say, I just want to go to heaven, enter the kingdom of God. I don't want to get any reward. That means it is a sign of immaturity. What happened if a Christian refused to mature? Refused to be mature in Christ. What happened? And I believe according to Matthew chapter 25, those people who refuse to serve God, based upon the entire chapter of Matthew chapter 25, I don't think he can enter the kingdom of God. Based upon Matthew chapter 25. For those people who refuse to be mature in Christ Jesus, that means who refuse to grow up, who refuse to serve God, I don't think he can enter the kingdom of God. I encourage you to write it down, right beside chapter 4, you write down the entire chapter, Matthew chapter 25. Chapter 25 talk about the 10 virgins, and then chapter 25 talk about, on Matthew chapter 25 talk about talent that the servant received. Some receive 5 talent, some receive 2 talent, some receive 1 talent. The one who bury his talent and refuse to serve God, he will be kicked out. He will not be able to enter the kingdom of God. And then in the last portion of chapter 25 talk about when Jesus Christ come back, he will separate the lamb from the goat. The goat is the one that who never served God. The lamb is the one, the sheep is the one who served God. The sheep are separate on the right side, the goat on the left side. So, not now. God won't separate us right now. God will separate us in the future. So, in other words, we don't know. We don't know who will be able to enter the kingdom of God now. Because, why I'm saying that? He himself know. You don't know. Because based upon Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, and someone prophesies in the name of Jesus. Someone drive out demon in the name of Jesus. Somehow, someone perform many miracle in the name of Jesus. He has a so-called godly ministry, and yet Jesus called him, away from me, you evildoer. He didn't have a godly life. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, superficially, if you look at his ministry, look like he would be able to enter the kingdom of God, but in reality, he's not, right? You remember in Matthew chapter 25, there are three parables. The first parable regarding 10 virgins has the lamb, 5 has lamb, and also oil in the jars, right? But 5 has the lamb, doesn't have the jar of oils, right? They're not prepared, right? They're not prepared. So that's Matthew chapter 25, the first parable. And then second parable is the one with 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent, right? The one who buried 1 talent. The third parable is talk about when Jesus Christ come back, he sit on the throne and judge all his people. He will separate the one who's serving and the one who refused to serve, right? So in other words, it is the will of the Father that he want his children to be mature in Christ Jesus. Mature in Christ Jesus, that means you have to be a God's children, and then you serve God. You have to be God's children, and then you serve God. Okay? I want to read one parable to you. Remember, a father has 2 sons? In Matthew chapter, I think, 20. Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. Gabriel, could you read that?
What do you think? There was a man who had 2 sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, go and work today in the vineyard. I will not," he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, "I will, sir," but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent."
The first son, at first he said, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to serve." But later on, he changed his mind. Change his mind means repent. And then went. He went into the vineyard and served. Do you know why he changed his mind? Probably he found out, well, if I don't serve God, I don't think I can enter the kingdom of God because I'm immature. And it is the Heavenly Father's idea that he wants us to be mature. He not only wants us to be his children, he wants us to be his mature children. Okay? A mature child, when we grow to maturity, when he looks at us, he will see Jesus in us. Jesus is the one who is completely humble and gentle. Jesus Christ is the one completely patient with us and bearing with one another, bearing our burden, bearing our sins in love on the cross. And Jesus Christ is the one who makes every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And Jesus Christ is the mature Son of God. He laid down the example for us to follow. That's the sign of maturity life. That's the sign of a godly life. And when we look at Jesus, we look at him, how he lived out his life, and he lived a life worthy of the calling he has received from God. As the Heavenly Father say to him, I send you to come down on earth. And then in the latter part of his ministry, before he ascended to heaven, he say, as the Father has sent me, I now send you, right? So he came down to serve God. He came down not only to live a godly life, he came down to serve God. And so now we get a godly life now. We have Jesus Christ live inside us, and we have the Holy Spirit live inside us. And all we have to do is yield to the Holy Spirit and yield to his word. At first, we may be like the firstborn son, you know. Say, no, I will not go. I don't want to work. I want to do my own thing. But later on, something happened. He changed his mind. And when? But where's his younger brother? His sweet talk to his father. He said, I will, sir. But he did not go. And then Jesus Christ said, which of the two sons did what his fathers wanted? I want you to write it down. Right beside 21:31, you write down 7, 21 to 23. The one who be able to enter the kingdom of God is the one who do the will of the Father. Do what the Father wants. He does it. He does the will of the Father. Enter into the vineyard. Now I want to talk about how can I be mature. According to Paul's teaching in Ephesians chapter 4, how can we be mature in Christ? So we have to work in our own life. Be humble, be gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. The reason why we have to have a unity of the Spirit, he gave the reason for that in verse 4 to verse 5 is the reason for it. For there's only one body. We are all members of the same body. So got to be in unity. There's only one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. The reason why we have to have a unity of the Spirit, because there's only one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The reason why we have to have the unity of the Spirit, because there's only one God. He's the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. And then in verse 7, what is he talking about? He say, although we have only one body, one Lord, one Spirit, one God, but we have various members. Each member has different gifts. Gifts means spiritual gifts. Each and every one of us have various gifts. in the NIV translation, verse 7 start with but. The Chinese one don't have that. I think the English translation is very, very good. Although there's only one body, one Lord, one Spirit, one God, the Father of all, we are from one source, but we are various parts of the same body. So that's why in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And when Paul make this proclamation in verse 7, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And then he said, this is not what I mean. This is what God means. This is why it says in the scripture, in Psalm 68:18, when he ascended on high, he led captive in his train and gave gifts to men. Jesus Christ ascended on high. When he ascended to heaven, he led captives in his train and gave gifts. Gifts is a spiritual gift. Gift is a plural. One body has various members within the same body. Various members has different function. So that's why we all need to have different gifts, different spiritual gifts, in order to make the body beautiful, to make the body function properly. Not every member of the same body are mouth, eyes, hair. Okay? So various part of the body has different function. So that's why. But to each one of us, although we belong to the same body, grace and spiritual gifts has been given to us as Christ apportioned it. In here, talk about Jesus Christ, the one who gives us the spiritual gifts. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it is the Holy Spirit who gives us spiritual gifts. Then you may ask me, wow, who gives us spiritual gifts? Is the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ? Will you please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? Chapter 12, verse 11. All this, that means starting from verse 8 to verse 10, all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit. And he gives them to each one just as he determined. Verse 8, to one there's given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirit, to another speaking in different kind of tongue, and to still another the interpretations of tongues. All these gifts are the work of the one and the same Spirit. The Holy Spirit give the spiritual gifts to each and every one of us, just as the Holy Spirit determined. In here, Paul saying that it is the Holy Spirit giving us the spiritual gifts. But whereas, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it is Jesus Christ, verse 7 and 8, it is Jesus Christ who gives us the spiritual gifts. So who is right? Is it both of them right? Etta? So who is right? Who giving us spiritual gifts? The Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ?
Are they like three in one?
Yeah. Okay. So if someone asks you, you know, Then what should you say? You say 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit. Chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, talk about the same Spirit, the one and the same Spirit gives spiritual gifts to us, to God's children. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, it is Jesus Christ who gave us grace, gave us spiritual gifts. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Spirit. So you can call Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ. You can call Jesus Christ the Spirit. God is what? According to John, Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 24, God is Spirit. God is Spirit too. The Lord is the Spirit. God is Spirit. Gabriel, could you read 4:24? Gospel of John?
God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth.
Okay. So God, so now the Jesus Christ gave gifts to men. In verse 9 to verse 10, is a parenthesis. If I don't explain that, you still can understand verse 11. So I want to skip 9 to 10, and then I go back to 9 and 10. I want to have the flow. What kind of gifts that our Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. So, verse 11, it was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. So it is Jesus Christ, it is the Spirit who gives some to be apostle, like Peter is apostle, Paul is apostle, John is apostle, some to be prophet, and some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor and teacher. I heard some pastor say to me that he said, I don't have the gifts of teaching, I don't have the gifts of preaching, I have the gifts of administration. The person who say that is the person that who did not read chapter 4, verse 11. In the Greek word, and some to be pastor and teacher. Kai, the word kai, K-A-I. That means if you are a pastor, you have to have the gifts of being a teacher. Otherwise, you cannot call yourself pastor. That's the gift that God gives to the pastor. What's the reason why He gives these kind of gifts to the church? Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service. I want you to circle the word works of service. You write down 2:10. 2:10. Ephesians 2:10. Why? Because we are God's workmanship prepare to do good work, for we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good work. God created us in Christ Jesus to do good work. Although Jesus Christ created us, we created us to do good work. But we still have to be prepare ourselves to do good work, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And how do I explain that? You can train a dog. I have seen a dog trainer to train a dog to walk with just two legs, right? He can only walk maybe 10, 20 steps. He cannot keep walking like that. Eventually, he has to what? Has to walk with four legs, right? He can't just walk, you know, just walk like us, right? He cannot do that. Because God did not create him like that. But God created us to walk with our own 2 feet, not with our own hand. I know some, if you have an accident and then you cannot walk with your leg, you may have to walk with your hand. But this is extraordinary. It's very, very special. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God creation. When God created you, he created you to what? To walk on your 2 feet, right? That's God's creation. So we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work. In other words, when Jesus Christ recreated us, when he saved our life, he put something in our life that we are equipped, we are able to do good work. It's a matter of whether you're willing to be trained to do good work. When we come out, we cannot walk. Do you look at the baby? What did he do? He crawled, right? But after a while, I've never seen any baby refuse to walk. When the baby see all the daddy mommy is walking like that, that give him an incentive. Say, if daddy mommy can do it, I want to do it. Right? But you know, when he stand up and see all this kind of stuff, he won't crawl anymore. You know, I've seen some adult crawl because he has arthritis, he cannot walk, you know. That's a very painful situation. It's not that we want to be like that. Because we have back pain or that's why we crawl. It's not because we refuse to do it. We are trained to be able to walk, right? So that's how God created us. So when God created you, you should be able to do good work. But in order for you to do good work, we're just like baby. When we say come out, we crawl. But I don't know how long have we been crawling, right? 8 months? 9 months? Probably a year old. Then we should be able to walk, right? Isn't it? Right? And anyone has experience? Nine months, right?
9 to a year.
To a year. And so we are equipped. So we are created in such a way that we can speak too. I'm not talking about special case. God created us that we be able to speak, right? To speak any kind of language. If I put a baby in a Caucasian family, he's going to speak either French or English, right? No accent. If I put you in a Mandarin-speaking family, you won't be able to speak Cantonese, you will speak Mandarin. If your nanny is a Cantonese speaking, well, you may be able to learn some Cantonese too. So when God created us in Christ Jesus, that we are able to do good work, that good work God prepared in advance for us to do. He arranged the situation. He allowed you to be able to do it. It's a matter of whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. If you want to do it, then we follow in chapter 4, verse 12. God gives some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. The reason why God arranged this kind of people in the church, so that this kind of people going to prepare God's people
prepare God's people for works of service. You know what's the greatest sin for a pastor? Is do not allow God's people to serve. That's the greatest sin I've ever seen in God in Paul's teaching. That's the greatest sin. But I've seen nowadays, especially to the mega church, I'm talking about thousands to thousands of people attending to the same church, not everyone be able to serve God in that kind of setting. I don't know. I want to test your memory. Do you remember there are 7 churches in Asia Minor? There are 7 churches in Asia Minor. What's the name of the first church? In Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3? What's the name of the first church in Asia Minor? Anybody has good memory? Ephesus? Who's the pastor of Ephesus? Timothy? Who has been pastoring Ephesus? Paul? Paul has spent 3 years of his life in Ephesus. When Paul left, Paul sent Timothy to pastor the church of Ephesus. Do you remember what Jesus said to the church of Ephesus? Donald, do you know, could you read that? Chapter 2, 1 to 8, I think. Revelation, chapter 2, 1 to 7. Sorry. In chapter 2 of Revelation, verse 6, you hate the practices of the Nicolaitan. Nico, like Nicholas, hate the practices of the Nicolaitan, which I also hate. Jesus Christ hates that too. You wasn't there. Joyce? What is the practices of Nicolaitan? Etta, do you remember? Immoral. Huh? Immoral? No. Hannah, do you remember? What's the practices of the Nicolaitan? Don't remember? Jesus Christ also hates the practices of Nicolaitan. In the third church, the church in Pergamon, verse 15, likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitan. The church of Ephesus hates the practices of Nicolaitan, but in the church of Pergamon, hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitan. Not practices now, because they practice it. Now they teach about Nicolaitan.
What is that Nicolaitan? Nicolaitan is the church disallow lay people to serve God. You just observe. You are not full-time. You are not allowed to serve. You just sit tight and see that. Jesus Christ said, I hate that. You know why Jesus Christ hate that? Based upon Matthew chapter 25, Moses? Matthew chapter 25. What's the reason why he hates that? What if I don't serve? What if I'm the pastor that disallow you to serve? Based upon Matthew chapter 25, that three parable?
Then you're not ready.
I'm not ready, and what else? So like the talent, then I'm not using the talents, right?
Yeah.
So what happens if I don't use the talent, I get it, end up getting thrown out of the kingdom of God. Why you disallow me to go to heaven? I don't want you to disallow. You are not supposed to disallow me. You are supposed to what? Prepare me for God's service. You're supposed to equip me. You're supposed to allow me, encourage me to serve. You're not supposed to say, you just, hey, I want you to sit tight and see how I do it. No, you're not supposed to do that. Jesus Christ, I hate that. Pergamon not only hold on to their practices, they practice it themselves. They also teach others to practice it. So Gabriel, could you tell me what's the Nicolaitan practice? So in order to serve God, you have to be what? Full-time worker. That's nonsense, right? And Jesus hates that. I say, I also hate that. And unfortunately, that kind of practices pass it on to another church because we are influencing other people. And then Pergamon church not only practice it, they hold on to the teaching. They teach others about that too. Hey, you're not supposed to serve God, you know, because you're not full-time. You're not godly in love. No, come on. Allow people to serve. Equip people to serve. Prepare God's people for works of service. Could you write it down? Prepare God's people for work of service. Write it down, Revelation. Chapter 2, verse 6, right? 2:6, and then 2:15, right? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Evangelist, okay, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, their job, their responsibility is to prepare God's people for works of service. The full-time worker people, they are supposed to what? Prepare God's people for work of service. Right beside for work of service, you write down Matthew chapter 25. You write down Revelation chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 15. You got that? 2:6, 2:15. Joyce, what was Nicolaitan? No, Nicolaitan is overcome the laity, disallow the laity to serve God. God hates that. What's the reason why God hates that? What's the reason why Jesus hates that? Yeah. So should we serve God?
Yes.
Okay. It's amazing, eh? It's amazing. One thing is, when Paul talked about that in the book of Ephesians, he's so filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus speaks to John, Apostle John, to write the Revelation, chapter 2, he talked about the same thing. I hate that. That's why a pastor, a teacher, supposed to prepare God's people for works of service. If you do not know how to serve, your pastor is supposed to equip you so that you'll be able to serve. You cannot just go to the church and listen to someone preaching. And that's not good enough. So what happens if I just keep eating and then I refuse to exercise? So what happened? I tell you what happened, you know, when I get off from the plane and then to catch another plane, then I say to myself, I don't have enough exercise. You know, especially I'm carrying the luggages to run. I only get 5 minutes, right? And then, wow, man, I wish I exercised more enough. You understand what I'm trying to say? But if you have 1 hour to walk, then it's easy. You know, you don't see that. You know what I mean? When you have a short period of time that you can get from point A to point B, and you find out, wow, you're not really equipped to running like that. So do I miss anyone regarding the practices and the teaching of Nicolaitan? Could you tell me, Gabriel, make sure you tell Joshua. If Joshua do not understand, I hold you accountable to that. Are you sure you can tell him? Okay. Because make sure you tell him. If you hold on to this kind of teaching, hold on to this kind of practices, Jesus hate. Jesus want people to go to heaven. Where's the church? The church of Pergamon disallow people to go to heaven. That's really bad. I want you to sing it into your mind so that you can teach your children. Joyce, do you understand now? Yes. Now, this is the second time already, okay? The first time I talk about that in Revelation, okay? Jerry, do you understand what I'm trying to say? What do you mean by Nicolaitan? Nico mean overcome, come from the word Nicholas. Laity, latent from the word laity, lay people. Nicolaitan means the leader in the church did not allow lay people, Christian, to serve God. These kind of practices, this kind of teaching, Jesus hate. So you serve God now? Okay? I believe, you know, if your children read the Revelation, for sure they will ask you this question, because Nicolaitan in the entire Bible, from Old Testament to New Testament, only appeared twice. Chapter 2, verse 6, chapter 2, verse 15. It won't appear any other area. If you don't remember that, I don't know how can I help you. Okay? But go back to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. And all these kind of people, the full-time worker, Christian worker, is to prepare God's people for works of service. My job in this church is to prepare you. You are God's people. You are holy people. You have a holy life. To prepare you for works of service so that you have a godly life, and you have godly service, for sure you can enter the kingdom of God. Because Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, you become God's children, you have a godly life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good work, which God prepared in advance for you to do. And now the pastor prepare you for works of service. When you are prepared, what happened? So that the body of Christ, the church, may be built up. If the church remain weak, if the body of Christ remain weak, do not grow up, that means God's people are not ready for work of service. You know what? Saturday night, I call from New York. I heard from my wife saying to me that she went to on Saturday night. I call from New York, and she said to me that she baptized someone in the senior home. This is the seven people that was baptized in that senior ministry. I was so happy. I say, who baptized her? My wife say, I baptized her. I say, wow, that is good. That is good, you know. I like it, you know. And then I remind that, oh, wow, that is good stuff. I really prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. What is the sign? What is the sign that the church of Christ, the body of Christ, that was built up? What's the sign? Verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What is the sign of maturity? Can anyone explain to me the sign of maturity? Did he talk about the body of Christ may be built up? Did he talk about the quantity or did he talk about the quality? Can someone help me? The body of Christ may be built up based upon verse 13. Did he talk about the quantity, the number of people attending the church, or did he talk about the quality? Gabriel? Quality. He talked about the quality. Could you give me some proof?
Where it says that we all have to reach unity, so it's not just part where only some people reach unity, but together as a whole.
Okay, and then? Unity in what? Okay, unity in faith. How can I attain to unity of faith if I don't hear the same sermon? You believe your own thing, you read the scripture at home, I read the scripture at home, and your understanding of the scripture is different from my understanding of the scripture. It depends on our maturity, right? But if we grow up together in the faith, will we reach unity in the faith? Now, you know, you just do a survey, you know, like you don't need a lot of people, just 100 people, or maybe 50 people, or maybe 10 people. You ask him a question based upon Ephesians, they can give a different answer. Because that means they're not unity in the faith. Whose job is that? To make sure that God's people, we all reach in the unity in the faith. Whose job is that? Donald? So if a pastor, so I remember 2 years ago when I teach Revelation, I talk about Nicolaitan, but a lot of the people miss out because they don't see the difference. They don't see the importance of it, right? So when the pastor teaches that, it's my job to make sure that you have the unity in the faith. I make sure I teach the truth. I don't teach anything else. But what about you? Do you have to take some responsibility? What kind of responsibility do you have to take? And then you review it, right? Review what you have heard. What you have heard, just like you go to school, right? Before exam, you review it, and you remember, put it into practice. Then you know, right? He not only talk in here. He talk about unity in three areas. Unity of the spirit. Make every effort to keep the unity of the spirit through the bond of peace. Secondly, unity in the faith. Thirdly, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. Unity in three things. Nowadays, a lot of churches, they measure their maturity, whether the church are grown up by what? Are they measured by quantity or measured by quality? Jean? But did Jesus, through his servant Paul, talk about quantity or quality? Unity of the Spirit, unity in the faith, unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. Is he talk about quality or quantity? What is his concern? Quality. Okay. If we all listen to the same truth, eventually we all reach unity in the faith. If we heard the same truth, the same gospel, we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. You know what? You know what? Let's say if I don't study this Ephesians chapter 4, if I ask you the question, do you think this church is a mature church? I give you say, oh, this church has 250 people, and then another church has only 50 people. But they all know Jesus Christ. 50 of them, they all know Jesus Christ. They all have unity in the faith. Then if I ask you a question, who is more mature in Jesus' sight? Whereas the one had 250, they don't even read the Bible. Then Jennifer, which one is more mature in Jesus' sight? With 50 people. They all enter in the kingdom of God. And they all become mature. Just like the Bible says in chapter 4. And become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, there's 50 people. When they see them, they see Jesus Christ. Lo and behold, when I call home on Saturday night, and my wife said to me that she baptized people on Saturday, I was so happy. You know, if I was so happy, do you think Jesus Christ is happy too? You don't need Pastor John to be around to baptize people. If you are mature, you can baptize people too. Right? So I want to stop here. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand your word, your truth, your gospel, and help us to put emphasis on our own life. Just like what Paul say, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Help us to live a godly life. Help us to live a life
that we attain the full measure of Christ Jesus in our life. When they see us, they see Jesus Christ within us. And I also pray that the person who has truly a godly life, he got to have a godly ministry. Because you hate Nicolaitan, the practices of Nicolaitan, the teaching of Nicolaitan. You abhor those who are lazy and refuse to serve you. I pray that you help us. Help us, prepare us to do good work. And I pray that each and every one of us not only hear your word and put what we hear in our practice, so that we all attain the full measure of our Lord Jesus Christ living within us. Whenever we open our mouth, we speak your word. Whatever we do the will of the Father. Just as the Heavenly Father has sent you and you have sent us to do the very same thing. Help us to be able to carry our own cross and to follow you closely. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.